minute, Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
Episode 113 of the Daily Talk Show.
Some exciting stuff going on in our world.
I can't stop smiling.
If you can hear the smile coming through in Josh's voice, it is huge.
This is, we've had two exciting things happen in one day.
Oh yeah, firstly, we want to dedicate this episode. We've never done that.
Yeah, dedication to Sandra Sully.
Yes. If you're listening, Sandra.
And Jason Fox for being the connector.
So tell them what happened.
Well, we were talking about Sandra Sully on the podcast. We had Dr. Jason Fox on talking all things metamodernism. And he was doing a talk today, I think maybe up in Brisbane or Sydney. Sydney, yeah. I think it was Sydney. And he had a panelist, you know, it was a panel of people talking.
Yeah.
And Sandra Sully was on the panel.
Yes, but what Dr. Jason Fox did for us, he went above and beyond.
Well, he talked about the Daily Talk Show to
Sandra,
and he's got photos of him and Sandra, and then a photo of Sandra Sully subscribing to the Daily Talk Show podcast.
It's amazing.
This is big.
I
guess it's the last show.
We said we wanted Sandra on for episode 200.
We're at 113. We're not far off. December.
Yeah, essentially.
Well, the reason we said, episode 200 was because we didn't want to have that episode too early. We wanted to have some exciting things in the future.
Something to look forward to.
Something to look forward to.
And Sandra is 200.
Yeah.
But the other thing that we're excited about is we've finally got stickers.
Yeah. DHL knocked on the door about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
This is huge. We've got 1,000 stickers, can I just say that these, it could have gone either way. The quality, I wasn't sure about the quality, but I can say without any sort of reservation that these are the best stickers I've ever seen.
What price did you pay?
Look, they're priceless now. That's what matters, isn't it?
No, but what did you actually pay?
I don't want to devalue. It only cost me $110.
But I think I'm not expecting them to be $5,000. But I think everyone's trying to get stuff cheap now. So it's like, if you can get something cheap that's good, you're winning. No one cares.
But the thing is that whilst the printing costs that, the logo, like the actual intellectual property involved. So I'd like to say that if someone got one of these stickers... Per sticker, $50.
So it's our logo. If you look on any of our social media, you'll see it there. It's like the circle. These are perfect.
I'm so happy. But anyway, I got some stickers done many years ago through Alibaba. Do you know Alibaba?
Did you have to get 5,000 of them?
It was a lot of stickers. And I went through the same company to get business cards. And it ended up being just a huge clusterfuck.
In what way?
Well, I got... first of all, I tried to do like super, super thick business cards. This is when I had Melbourne Geek.
Okay.
And it was like 600 GSM. They were so thick you wouldn't be able to...
The doorstop thickness?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to put them in your... wouldn't be able to put them in your wallet.
Yeah.
But they sent photos before they sent them on to me with the to show me the quality. And they were horrendous. And I'd already paid for everything but the shipping... And so I refused to pay for the shipping. And so I never got them. And the annoying thing was I did it through PayPal. Here's a lesson for you. Already a lesson, you know, what are we in? 3.5 minutes in, I'm already throwing out lessons. But the lesson was paying with PayPal doesn't mean that you can just get your money back. If it's a custom good, custom goods, it doesn't count as like their return policy and stuff doesn't apply or the safety nets.
So, are we going to give out any of these stickers?
Yeah. So, what we're going to do...
What's the deal? Because you make a lot of commitments on the show live that we end up regretting.
Well, this is the problem with the stickers is that someone's going to have to send them, have to do the mail. So, if I make some commitments around sending them out, given that I'm going to be overseas, it's a bit of a pain in the ass for me to carry them and then deliver.
Yeah, and it's a real pain in the ass to actually send them. But we will do it. So when I committed to selling O-Bike fishing t-shirts.
Well, wow. That was a less of a commitment for you and a more of a commitment for your wife, Amy, who had
But I had to get her on because it's so time-consuming. Mm. But these are thin. You can send them just in a normal envelope.
So what we're going to do is if you send us an email, hi@thedailytalkshow.com, with your address, we'll send you out a couple.
We may or may not send you out a couple.
No, well, Tommy will. Can that be one of your jobs?
Okay, I'll build a spreadsheet.
You know, okay.
If you're listening to this and we're 1,000 episodes deep, it probably won't. You probably won't get one.
Well, let's have a time limit on it. It's the 21st today. To take advantage of the offer, you need to send us an email by the 26th
next
of
week.
This month. So okay. Next week, you've got until Tuesday, and then Tommy's going to do a big sort of batch process.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. So here's the thing. You need to put the subject line as stickers because then I can just put them all into a folder and then I'll open them on the day.
It just feels like
you... Says the guy that will be walking around Europe eating a fucking piece of pizza. No,
I just
Sandra, if you're listening, this is what you have to deal with. This is what you deal with.
No, I think... No, I completely get that. Whatever. So that's very... that's exciting. What else has been going
mate,
on?
Mate, last night... We went, this is actually near Fox FM, the toilets there, Bodie, my son, had shat himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always annoying. The case of like, you get him out of the car and you just, and Amy looks at me and just says, oh, I think, and then she holds him up and I get down there with my nose and sniff his bum.
Wow.
And then I'm like, yeah.
What a shot for the paps.
So true. Yeah, you don't ever see, that's interesting. Maybe like, celebrities don't go down for the sniff because I'm literally in the supermarket they holding Bodie up into the sky and just sniffing his ass.
I believe that's what they were doing in Lion King. He wasn't. It was just sniffing to see if he's shit his pants.
So anyway, we're in the car park at this point. He'd shat his pants.
Okay.
And luckily we had a nappy because it was all a bit last minute. We had some stuff in the car and thought, okay, I know this car park and I know this building and I know that there's some toilets, some public ones just near the entrance to Coles.
Mm.
So we went up there and I was like, okay, upstairs is...
This is the same toilets that you went into the female toilets
correct.
A while ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So upstairs is the male and female and that's all that's up there. But on the ground floor is the disabled or baby changing toilet.
Mm.
And so... I'm like, sweet. And it's one of those like, I'd never say, it's just a door that's electronic that's like, it looked very modern.
Mm.
And so it just had a button that you just hit and it'd open the door. I hit it, opens it up, and this old grandma, gray haired, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? And we're like, oh, sorry. So what would your initial reaction be to seeing a woman on doing number twos? What would your reaction be?
You know what, I'm pretty awkward already.
Well, we got out of there. We just, oh, sorry, and ran up the stairs.
Well,
Bodie boy, me and myself and Amy.
That's hive territory. I definitely would have gotten hives.
And then Amy, like, as
what
I
was got, did you see her face?
Saw her face. She was
horror.
A meter and a half. She was horrified.
That's why I don't like toilets where the door, like, those types of toilets, it was even... I feel like in this building, potentially, I've been known to be the type of guy to hold a door just as an extra level of safety.
Yeah,
is there anything more vulnerable than being in that position?
Well, mate,
that's why
I feel. You know when you see a dog doing a poo and they look really guilty?
Yeah,
imagine that. That's how I feel like that dog when he looks at you. That just
poor
like,
lady.
Dude, don't look at me.
So what, you just left?
Well, I ran up the stairs. Amy came up with me because she's like, all I wanted to do was get out of there. But then she had like, you know, the nice person kicked in and she was like, okay, I'm going back down and to guard the door just in case someone walks
why
around.
Why is that? What is the door fucked? Why is it
well,
opening?
This is what we thought. I just thought that it was one of the... Some disabled toilets you can actually open if you hold the button down. Because imagine if someone with a disability passed out or something. So you need to be able to get in there. But... She finished up and she came out. She ended up getting off the toilet, coming in, closing the door and going, sitting back down, finishing business. But after the door opened, because we waited around and she apologized. Oh, you know, I'm so sorry. No, we're sorry. You know, she was lovely. She was like, and she justified it because I was like,
yeah,
is she disabled?
Yeah, what was
no.
the
joke?
Okay.
But then she said, she made a point of it saying, oh, my back, I wouldn't be able to walk up those stairs.
Yeah.
She would have been like 70s. And not that we were questioning her, but mm-hmm. I felt so sorry for her. And we went in there and we looked at the door and how you lock it.
Mm.
So here's the thing. You press it to close and then you hold it again to lock it.
It's
she hadn't
dumb.
She hadn't locked it.
It's so
she
dumb.
Just closed it and thought that, oh, this is a toilet door that locks. So if you are going to,
that gives me so much anxiety. The yeah. This is why I don't shit anywhere other than my home, which is going to be so tricky when I travel.
Oh, you're in trouble.
You know, Bree and I, the first time we ever travelled together, we went to Tasmania. She didn't shit for 10 days.
What, because you're around? Because yeah. it's a new boyfriend? Because you're I get it, Bree.
But I think she nearly really...
I feel the tummy pain.
But I think she like actually really hurt herself not going to the toilet for that long. You don't go for 10 days.
It's such a new relationship.
And the other thing too is you're in sort of Tassie where you're having a lot of pub food, a lot of Palmers.
Oh my God.
Where are they going? You know?
This is the thing. You get into a pub. The problem is I remember just needing to, for some reason, it's when you realize how much you need a fart is when you start dating because you start holding them in and it just hurts. George is – we've got George in the office here. He's watching.
He's going to be the future anchor of the show.
He's having a laugh because I saw his look. He laughed when I said it's when you're newly dating, you're holding the farts.
Can
you
relate,
really know
George?
It. Can you relate? Yes or no?
No, but his girlfriend
can. There you go. So he's not holding back.
See, I'm the one holding back. Maybe it's a – I mean –
Yeah, I don't. I think one of my favourite stories ever is someone who got who went to hospital because they thought that they were having a heart attack and they were just constipated.
Oh no!
Apparently, that happens a lot because it can be that painful.
Oh God! But just stay regular, guys.
But the thing is, it's human nature. You know what? I reckon fibre is really important. Like I,
you reckon, or it is?
No, but it is. But I also 100%. Think. But I made a note a while ago to have more fibre. I felt so good. You just feel lighter. But when I was drinking lots and lots of water, I got to a point where I needed to download an app called Toilet Finder, which would tell you where all the public toilets were.
I don't know how spot on you've got your diet when you're really needing to piss always.
Really? Like, constantly. How can you diet? What do you mean?
Well, is there something going on with absorption?
No.
Like, are you drinking? See, like, is it a new?
Can I give
the
people?
Modern...
Can I give Sandra? I'm just this whole episode's for Sandra, so we've got to give her a lot of context.
Sandra, if you're listening,
Sandra, Tommy was a PT 10 years ago, and now for some reason he thinks that anything that could be related to medical stuff, he's going to know because he did a Cert 4 for 6 weeks,
and then I had cowboy flying hours.
Yeah,
I was a PT for 7 years.
No,
but hang on.
No, you're not qualified to.
If you no, but if you're drinking coffee, which you do a couple a day, and then you're increasing your water intake massively,
mm-hmm.
it's just going to go straight in and out.
Yeah.
And so
my thought is,
are you actually absorbing the water? I'm not saying don't drink. I'm not saying it's like going. I'd rather overfill it than underfill it because underfilling is going to be dehydration.
I think the thing is that you.
Can you type that in, George?
What do you want to know?
To Google.
What's the question?
So the question is, drinking too much water.
Well, the thing is,
I'm pissing a lot after drinking too much water. Is this good or bad?
The thing is that coffee is a diuretic, which is going to make you wee. But I, the thing is that I never used to drink coffee, and when I wouldn't even drink coffee. I would, if I drink a lot of water, I need to go all the time. And so the thing is, and it's really good. Like I piss clear, it's great, but it's not a reason. Like what's the solution?
No, I'm not saying it's not a reason, but what I'm saying is optimizing the intake of water. So like the absorption of H2O into the system.
Mate, saying
H2O
is
not... So hydration, just because you drink a lot of water doesn't mean you're hydrated.
What the fuck are you talking about? I sort of get what you mean.
Because if you're pissing it out,
So what your argument is that I don't drink as much water because I'm like that makes it, the only thing that I could change is drink less coffee is what you're saying?
Probably. I'm saying optimizing diet, not keep your water in there.
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty hard to drink too much water. But you do hear, I remember as a kid when you would get taught about drugs and stuff like that. That's like how a lot of people on the MDMA or whatever it's called.
On the MDMA, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, well, it is a drug.
MDMA, people normally die from drowning.
Drowning.
drinking too much water.
That's one of the old scare tactics, if I've ever heard one. You drink so much you'll drown. When how much are you fucking drinking?
No, but on those Ambo shows, you know how they do that, like the night shows or whatever? And they would be like, here's Jenny, she was on MDMA and drowned.
I don't know how much.
You don't believe that? Okay.
Well, I've seen enough people on MDMA. I've done MDMA. I didn't drown. I drank a lot of water.
Yeah. No, I'm anti-drug. I just feel like I'm screwed up enough. I don't need anything in my life to push me over the edge. Coffee is enough. See, this is what makes me laugh. Tommy's having a go at me about...
I'm not having a go at
drinking
you.
I think your diet's a bit off. You're drinking too much. You're the classic PT who it's like, mate, you're not... Your macros are all off and you're doing a line of Coke every weekend. It's like you're misaligned.
I was 100% out of alignment off my values PT.
Yeah.
And I used to go out drinking most weekends, and then I would be teaching people about health.
Yeah, it's bullshit. Well, that's why
it's actually why I don't do it, right?
And this is why you don't be a PT,
I couldn't keep doing it. Now I'm more about living in alignment with my values. Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah. I don't have that passion to help people like that in that way.
Well, you're still dishing out advice. You still have that characteristics, which gives me the shits. You're talking about the radio and all that sort of thing. I was reminded of a story the other day. So I saw this. I saw one of the radio stations had a competition, and they took a photo of someone holding a check who'd won like $10,000, which is really cool. And it reminded me when I was at the radio station, and. Basically, one of our competitors had a competition. It was a postcode competition. You called up if they said your postcode out, you could win like $30,000 or whatever.
La la.
Anyway, the person who won it, they asked them, "Can we get a photo? We want to get a photo with you." Like one part of the competition rules is that we get a photo and that we can share it online.
Is this holding
the check? They said. They said, no, sorry, I don't want to be photographed, all that sort of thing, which sort of makes sense. Turns out the competitor worked out that the reason the person didn't want a photo was because he was actually the music director of the radio station that I worked for.
I fucking know this person. Yeah.
Do you know this story?
I know the person who did it, and I know that they did. What happened in the end? Let you finish it.
Yeah, he... So he won $30,000, and
it was a Nova 100 competition, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Nova 100 competition. He was working for Fox. it was Jack Ball. Yeah. Who it was.
It was.
I think it's fine to say it because he did the right thing. He didn't. He didn't take the money.
He didn't.
He didn't take the money. No. So I think that's why it's okay. He
now he doesn't even work in radio.
No. Well,
sure.
He came because I was gonna say his name in confidence, knowing that because he went off and did some finance or something, chasing coin. But no, I think he's back. Maybe at B105. Shout out Jack Ball.
So he's back.
Ripping bloke.
What would you do? Would you? I remember quit saying and take the cash.
I remember saying as the digital content producer at the time of Fox, I was just like. Mate, just take the money, just do it. There's a pay freeze here anyway. Just go and.
That's so funny.
And no, he never took it because the bosses were like, mate, it's not a good look. For one, you're listening to the other station.
Research.
Research. But there was, we were playing, because there's, what's the tool called on the. That the radio stations listens to listen back to
The log.
The log, listening to the logger, and you could hear him like winning the money and all that sort of thing.
Far out. And so, I mean, half the time when you're working for a radio station, you're thinking about it's just trolling. It's like, I'll just give it a call. I know heaps of people who've won radio competitions. I've got this one family friend that's a prize pig.
Can you explain what a prize pig for people who aren't in radio?
A prize pig is someone, and it's probably. A term coined by the people that work at the radio stations that have the same person calling about every single competition. Mm. So it's like they're essentially an avid listener. They wouldn't survive. The stations wouldn't survive without these people.
They're the type who are going to email us four times with four different addresses for these stickers.
But then
and we're on tier.
They'll come to an event.
We're fucking on tier.
So this is on the ground prize piggery. Mm. We're working in Frankston, one side of...
Great suburb in
one
Victoria.
Side of the bay in Melbourne. And then this guy travelled to the Bunnings that we're working at in Frankston. Mm. I said, where are you from, mate? He said, Williamstown. An hour and a half on the train the other direction. And he came, he fucking left with a wheelbarrow fully constructed, took it on the train home. For the prizes.
Oh, well, and he
just
won.
For the wheelbarrow.
He won
a wheelbarrow.
I thought he brought a wheelbarrow for the prizes, but the prize was a wheelbarrow. Makes sense.
He's the guy. It was like can you construct the wheelbarrow the quickest? And so you get the wheelbarrow if you don't win, and you get some other stuff. He didn't win, and it was a shonky construction of a wheelbarrow. And then I'm like, you off? He's like, yeah. Are you taking that on the train? Yeah.
Wow.
He just walks off with this riggedy. But that's like an on-the-ground prize piggery. There's some people that, you know, just calling.
Mm.
And I know a guy who...
And they know how to play it up too. They know the things to do, like get really excited. Like, you know, Jenny, we're going to send you and your partner off to a nice dinner at Mama Sita in the city, you know, valued at $70. Oh, my God! they play it up. That's how they, because prize pigs, they know all the rules. They know what makes a good caller. So you could give them, $70 voucher for Mama Sita and they're going to lose their mind.
There's a bit of enabling when you do work at radio stations because, you know, when you're not getting a call for something or if it's like, you know that you can resort to this person because they'll give you a good response. Or just say your name's Kevin and just give us a yell. Anyway, this friend of mine, a family friend, he won a competition and he's always got on Facebook, always got something new. I got tickets to Red Hot Chili Peppers. I got tickets to this. Anyone free to go to John Butler Trio this Friday night? Anyone free? Constantly. And years ago, 2011, he put on there, anyone want to come to Sydney with me to see blah, blah, blah. This chick who's not, wasn't even famous, but there was a live gig.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I wrote in there, I'm free.
Is he the autograph guy?
He's the autograph guy too.
Can you explain what he's... Well, he just collects a lot of autographs.
Yeah, collects autographs, but also memorabilia. Mm-hmm. Goes to where people are staying. He's one to frequent the airport to see when the celebrities are coming through, and he'll get them to sign something, or he'll find out what hotel room.
I feel like I could have gone down that path.
100%.
I remember Doveton Pools. They had, I think, Doveton Pools, near Dandenong. And they had a, Gold FM had a, their street team, and they were doing a bit of a Pepsi versus Coca-Cola taste test.
Yeah.
And they'd connected up with Lifesavers so that you would get, if you guess the correct one, you'd get a stick of Lifesavers, like the lollies. And I just remember it was would go in line. I was wearing glasses at the time. I'd wear glasses, go in line, do the test, come back without my glasses so I look a bit different, do the test again, did another one because I had a rashie on, actually took my rashie off so I looked different again. I was going back and forth. And
you thought you had them?
They just wanted to get rid of supplies because they were probably told, mate, you're staying here until all the Lifesavers are gone.
So did you win?
No, I got a few sticks of Lifesavers.
So you were just there for the sugar?
Yeah.
Just
smashing it.
So I just jumped onto the dude's Facebook page I'm talking about that took me to Sydney.
Yeah.
We had a great trip, by the way.
So were the flights included?
Flights, accommodation, transfers, food, drinks.
The funny thing about you is you're, I've told you this before, you're a bit of a leech.
How am I a leech? What am I leeching off?
Tommy is the guy at the school canteen that will wait outside and be like, got 50 cents?
Nah.
Got 50 cents?
No, and you've leeched this guy. I always had money.
Literally, today, Jimmy is enjoying his platter and you're like, oh, mate, you're going to eat all those cheese?
No, I said, can I have some gorgonzola?
Literally. And what also did you... Do you remember he was eating his quesadilla on the weekend? We had a full
trough.
We had a full trough of nachos.
And then they finished all their food.
He hadn't even started his quesadilla yet. You got him a knife and fork so he would hurry up and so he could
Maybe you just don't have friends good enough like I do with James where you can ask them.
You're a leech, where
they don't care.
You're a leech. Anyway, so tell us about
I just looked onto this dude's Facebook page.
Do you think you're a leech at all?
I push the boundaries constantly. I don't feel embarrassed. Not at all to ask friends, especially friends. Like, what are they going to say? James said no. Say no problem.
That was great when he said that, because the quesadilla, you got a strong no first, wasn't it?
No, he said yes. He said, have you got a knife? And so then I gave him a knife.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't feel the awkwardness. Maybe it's not the most beneficial thing to eat food.
What a trait.
Definitely pass that. Well, fuck, mate. Who went to Sydney with a prize pig?
Yeah, I know.
Me.
It's true. But I like that you're talking about prize pigs like you're some sort of superior being. But you were leeching off a prize pig. I will reap
the rewards of being associated with a prize pig.
Cool. So you went up to Sydney.
Anyway, I just jumped on his Facebook page. First one. He's re-shared something that says, I'm playing cash show. Come and play with me. Cash show. Right answer means real cash. And so it's like he shared something and a couple of swipes down, another share for a PlayStation 4, win a PlayStation 4. It's a numbers game.
Yeah.
So people who are prize pigs, it's probably a bit of a derogatory or defamatory name.
I worked with a lady that I'll call her Debbie that I worked with at a previous company. It wasn't radio station, was sort of a government job.
Wasn't Jack Ball.
That's his real name. But Debbie, she was a bit of a prize pig. She loved calling up, all that sort of thing. But she'd call up on anything. She would drink 6 cans of Diet Coke a day, right, Debbie?
Wow.
She's probably in her 40s. Anyway, she got some Diet Coke and said that it tasted different. The formula was different. So she called up Coca-Cola and she gave them the batch number and they said, yep, you're right. We're meant to clean out the machines 3 times or something before you put in the syrup, and we'd only done it twice and you were tasting the difference of that one claim.
Oh, my God.
So she got like a free can, what's multiple cans called? What do you call that?
6-pack.
She got a slab. She got a slab of Diet Coke.
Mate, the amount of time that it took her to delve into that.
Mm. But you'd happily crack one open of Debbie's. You'd have
definitely.
One.
If Debbie was here with a 24-pack,
you'd
I'd
ask
say,
for one.
Debbie, can I just have one here? Mm. Can I have one of your Cokes?
Hi at the Daily Talk Show is the email address. Chris Nichols is getting on board with taking photos, which yes. I realized. Like, so the idea was take a photo where you're listening, but specifically I started it where I would give a specific location that I wanted the photo. So if you're listening on a plane and you are above your hometown, take a photo.
I was a bit of a naysayer.
Well, we got no emails from that because it was too specific. But this is getting very much like Osha Ginsberg, who's got a podcast, has something called the Podsea, I think it is, where he encourages people to email
where they're listening.
Where they're listening.
Okay.
And so
it's not an original idea. I did it in Shepparton. Mm. Just telling people what's the view from where you are, and I'd put up like a view from where I am, and people would tag me. I'd put it on Facebook in the comments.
Go viral, big in Shepparton. What was something?
We had some good engagement there. Mm. I told you about we raised a bunch of cash. It was called GV Snaps, and we encouraged people from around the Goulburn Valley, hence the GV, to send in epic shots of the landscapes. Man, some seriously good shots. And this was like iPhone 4 days, iPhone 5 days.
Rocking it old school.
And we got some sick ones, and we got them printed onto canvas, and then we sold them at a local supermarket. Like, we had like this art display stand. It was sick.
Is there anything that you missed? Because for people who don't know, I'm doing a lot of resetting for Sandra Sully. Tommy was on regional radio for 2 years, did sort of that whole thing. He was in Shepparton in Victoria. Anything that you miss from those days?
Not really.
Really?
Amy said to me this morning, because I said, such great memories from living there. But it's purely a time. It's suitable for a time of your life. Like everything about it, I don't miss getting up early. I don't miss feeling away from family. I don't miss the cold, you know, lonely times. But it's also like we were working so hard and giving it such a good crack and having experience. So it's like it is some of the best memories that I have was in Shepparton and some of the friendships I've made.
Best memories in the sense of like what you would do outside of the show or what's the actual good bit?
Oh, I think just it's a unique situation if you've ever gone somewhere to work. Okay, nurses probably could relate.
Yeah.
You know, sort of, people
you're all
that
saving
work,
lives.
Work, yeah. People that work, you know, on the oil rigs, like you're around this community and you're having to kind of get involved. And it's so different. Like I grew up in fucking Brighton in Melbourne and it's like the polar opposite.
Yeah.
Country town, very small, but like still real great sense of community, amazing people that make up this town. So that's... And it was a unique opportunity being the person on radio hearing, you know, you're in all the stores around the, you know, the city. And so it's like it really injects you into it and you become friends. And you know what I'm
and
like.
You're in a bit of a bubble. Yeah, but you would have embraced that bubble.
Fucking oath.
You would have been the, you know, it's the classic big fish in a small pond. And you were fucking, where's, I was going to say, what's Willy? What's the.
Where's
what's
Wally?
The, nah, not where's Wally. What's the.
Free Willy.
Free Willy. Yeah. You were Free Willy. That's how big you were. That was the sort of I fucked it.
So it was good, and yeah, so much fun.
I'd like.
I just I wish it would be like I think now about us and the how much fun. Like if we were a bit younger, maybe.
Yeah.
How much fun it would be if that was you and me in a town, just like, yeah, it would be so cool because you're there for one thing.
Would you be able to do like if we were doing it? Do you think the radio station would have allowed us to do outside broadcasts every morning?
No. It's so cold. It's too cold there in the winter.
I think that'd be so much fun. If I was doing it, I'd be like, I only want to do it if we can like have a PA system and really and get big, get like really put some
energy the problem into it. Is the boundaries with these stations because you want to do all these things and there's all this red tape because they're trying to get a certain person on for sponsorship.
Yeah.
And so you can't just do it. Like, where are you doing it from? Out the front of Coles? Well, Coles aren't a sponsor. Where are you doing it from? Out the front of the mall? Well, the mall isn't sponsoring. And so it's like this game. Sometimes they do it, right?
Yeah.
But it's this game of... Well, we can't be seen to be giving anyone.
Man, this is so, and this is the
politics,
thing.
Politics, bro. Yeah,
talk about politics. Last radio story, and then we'll head off. I tweeted. I remember I was at Port Melbourne Nando's, and they fucked up my order when I was a big digital content producer at the radio station.
What did you order?
I think I ordered like I paid for a large chips, and they gave me a small. And I told them about it, and they didn't do anything.
Oh, that's fucked.
And I was annoyed about it, and so I did a tweet. I just said never going to at Nando's Port Melbourne again. And I got an email from Kerry Jones, who was the executive producer for Fifi and Jules, said Nando's are a sponsor. Could you please take it down? And I'm really glad that we're doing our own thing now and we can say whatever we want.
Yeah.
Come after us, Jack Ball, mate. what do you don't have $30,000 to sue us. You got
Well, let's give somebody's podcast a shout out. They probably didn't want it, but let's do it.
Yeah.
Dirty Derek.
Dirty Derek, who we've had on the show. He's the guy on Easy Street who turned his dino room into a full podcasting setup. We did a live show from there.
Scooter engine power room where you're testing the engine power. Now it's a sick setup. Anyway, he's got a podcast called What Now, Derek? Just type in Derek Myers, M-Y-E-R-S. Derek Myers. This is a kick out the ass to make sure that you keep doing it because we're all about getting people on board the bandwagon.
Well, George listens to the show and we were downstairs at the cafe and had Dirty Derek walk in. It was like an episode of Seinfeld or something. Got all these characters. But
Dirty Derek's his DJ name. He's not just a dirty...
He's actually... I think that it's one of those... It's like calling a redheaded Bluey because he's the opposite of dirty. He's a cuddly teddy bear with a... Don't you think? He's just got that vibe. Like, I think that I'll one day grow into Dirty Derek.
Will you?
Yeah, I think so. Like, with the hats, like his style. That's my next rebrand. I'll be rocking
the
a scooter.
The thing about Derek, I don't think he purposefully does any style. He does Derek.
Yeah.
Whereas I think you're
trying. I'm a bit contrived.
But I think maybe you'll get there. Maybe you're like, this is me. I am Josh, you're wearing a fucking beret.
And I'm literally just dressed as Derek.
Sandra, like, tomorrow we have on the show a special guest, yeah. Jeff Jowett.
He, you might know him from Breakfast or Morning TV from the mid-2000s, around 2006, 2007. He was on sort of David and Kim and all those morning shows. And he was in the infomercials bit.
Yeah.
You would have, he was selling, what was it called? Body Trim?
Yeah, Body Trim.
And he,
protein cookies.
He's talking about the cookies and the protein.
But he's got an amazing story, yeah. And his episode will drop tomorrow. Yeah.
A $30 million a year revenue the business was doing.
Crazy. And he, over 100 staff.
Yeah, and as he would admit, he royally fucked it with a pretty solid sex addiction and drug addiction, yeah. And alcoholism.
I saw him talk once and he said, you know, when you hit rock bottom, well, I fell off the fucking bottom.
Yeah.
That's where I was. He was so, so low.
Yeah. And so we normally do this show every day. Now, you were having a go at me with the semantics of saying live.
Oh, well, live in our world, which is now, it's a Thursday and we're recording, we'll put it out today.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas live in the, I think most real people's world is like Facebook Live, which means you're literally seeing them as they're doing
and
it.
And so I said yesterday that we normally do them live. Is that what I said?
You said something around that.
Okay. Well, what I was meaning was we do the show every single day.
Yes.
And what I'm saying is that every Friday while I'm away, to give us a day off, we are going to be putting out a guest that we've been pre-recording. So we've,
yeah.
we've by the time I'm going to Europe, Sandra, on Tuesday, and we're still doing the show 4 days a week, but every Friday we will use one of our pre-records. And yeah. we've got about 10 or 12 pre-records yeah. of interesting people.
Have we got them mapped out yet? Because
we do have
can
it.
Can we tell Sandra about Sam?
Yeah. So we've got old mate Jeff Jowett tomorrow,
yep.
Protein Man. And then next Friday, the 29th of June, we have Sam Mack, who is the Channel 7 Sunrise weather dude / content king, and someone who I've been following for a very long time.
Yeah, he's
a legend. We talk about an email that I sent him 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Remember, if you want those stickers, as Tommy's requested, please put stickers in the subject line, because apparently he's incapable of reading the body
no,
of an
I
email.
I can just put them into a folder because I know what people's intentions
anywhere
are.
Anywhere around the world? Yeah, we'll do them global. You know what? If you're in Europe and you tell us before the 26th, I'll bring some and I'll look after the European region.
Okay, I appreciate
and you
that.
Look after Australia and North America and stuff. Everyone, it's The Daily Talk Show. Hi@thedailytalkshow.com is the email address. We hope you have a lovely day, Sandra, and thanks for listening.